Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Wednesday, January 17th. On today's podcast, I'm going to do a little post-mortem on the six teams that lost during the wild card round of the playoffs, tie a bow on their season as we look forward to next season, and then I'll give you some quick thoughts by position on early rankings here for the divisional round. Of course, on Friday, we'll do the big show, where we'll preview all of the games for the divisional round, not only fantasy thoughts, DFS thoughts, but also we'll set you up on the betting front as well. But let's dive into it. Okay, so we'll start with the Cleveland Browns. Of course, they lost to the Houston Texans, and it was quite a run for Joe Flacco, but it is abundantly clear that, hey, Deshaun Watson's their quarterback. And I don't know if Joe Flacco lands anywhere. Like, he may be on speed dial for a few teams, especially if injuries continue at quarterback like they did this past season, but he is not an option, and they just have too much financially invested in Deshaun Watson to go any other direction, and Kevin Stefanski said as much. Now, running back is going to be interesting for this team because we could be looking at a situation where both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt aren't on the roster. Kareem Hunt just had that short-term deal, and even Nick Chubb here, so he's obviously coming off of a devastating injury. And that really sucked for a number of reasons. It sucked for fantasy. It sucked for him. It sucked for the team. But he's 29 years old this season. And when we take a quick peek at the contract, yes, there is a year remaining, but there's no guaranteed salary. So he could be out of the mix as well. However, Amari Cooper will be there. I'd expect to see more Cedric Tillman this upcoming year. Elijah Moore, obviously, there. But I've gotten a lot of questions about David Njoku. Njoku caught fire down the stretch with Joe Flacco. No doubt about it. Caught fire. And every so often you get these heaters. Now, was that the product just of Joe Flacco? Were there more things at play? I can't fully say at this point, honestly. What I can tell you, though, is an observation I've made over many years of following tight ends. Tight ends tend to break out if they don't right from the gate. And right now, all of a sudden, all these tight ends are breaking out right from the gate. But historically, it was like age 26, age 27 season, right in that range. What season was this for David Njoku? Age 27. So the breakout was well-timed in terms of his career arc. The question is, can Deshaun Watson sustain that? If we go back to his time in Houston, Watson really targeted his tight ends a lot. Now, granted, they seemingly had a collection of about a dozen tight ends over that span of time. And he did have DeAndre Hopkins. He had Will Fuller. He even had Brandon Cooks for a period of time there as well, if you remember. But the narrative that Njoku didn't perform well in the beginning of the season because of Watson, I think is a bit overblown. Watson was injured the whole season, basically. That shoulder injury happened very early on. And so I don't know if we can conclusively say one way or the other. What I can say conclusively, that coaching staff is well aware of what a game changer David Njoku can be. And you better believe they're smart enough to get the football in his hands more, prioritize that more going forward to next year. So I actually think his arrow is pointing up both in redraft and in dynasty, regardless of who's under center. And, well, we know who's going to be under center. All right, let's move on. Miami, of course, losing to Kansas City. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback, obviously, of the present of this team, but they're going to have to make a financial investment. They have the fifth-year option this upcoming year. He's going to be there for the long haul. Tyreek Hill will not be there for the long haul, but he will be there for the short term. He remains an elite fantasy receiver. But the team is fascinating. Obviously, Waddle's there, and we saw Waddle is more boom or bust when Tyreek is going to demand as much target volume as he has. That's okay, as long as our expectations are there for Waddle. The really interesting place for this team is obviously at running back. Raheem Mostert, not getting any younger. He'll be 32 this upcoming season. Devon Achane was fantastic, but can he carry a big workload without constantly getting hurt? I don't know what happens with this team. Like, I do think there's a little bit of a shift, like we're going to be a little bit more Achane-centric and less Mostert-centric this upcoming year, just because of the natural progression of age. But I wouldn't rule them out addressing the position in the draft as well. We could possibly see Mike McDaniel give up play calling duties this upcoming year, but I think it's a lot of rinse and repeat for fantasy purposes. We did see the team fade a little bit down the stretch, though. That is something at least worth noting. They were very banged up. Green Bay, Dallas. Okay, so Dallas, as of right now, they did not say – I haven't heard anything about Mike McCarthy being fired. There were rumblings. If they suffered an embarrassing loss, his job could be on the line. So stay tuned on that one. I don't know if he goes or if he stays. If he stays, I expect more of the same for fantasy. And while, Cowboys fans, I'm sorry, it was a very disappointing loss. The fantasy output, especially down the stretch from this team, was phenomenal. Really primarily from Dak and CeeDee Lamb. But also, I mean, hey, Jake Ferguson had himself a day in the wild card round. And this dude showed he can be a tight end one. I didn't think he could be. And I love when I'm wrong in these instances. He definitely is. Tony Pollard may not be back, though. And as of right now, it's not going to be the Rico Dowdle show. They do not have another running back on the roster. So if they let him walk in free agency, because remember, he signed a franchise tag, and I don't think he's worth a second tag based on what he did this season. They let him walk, expect them to address the position in the draft. Let's move on. CeeDee Lamb's going to be freaking awesome again next year. Let's move on. Los Angeles Rams losing to Detroit. Close game. I thought that one could have went either way. I put my chips on the Rams. I was wrong. But here's what we know. The Rams proved that they know a thing or two about drafting guys for their system. Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams were two of the biggest fantasy stories of the season, and neither one was a fluke. Puka Nacua was phenomenal, not only in the regular season setting those rookie records, he set a rookie record in the postseason. The torch has been passed from Cooper Kupp to Puka Nacua. And if you didn't jump off of Cooper Kupp at age 29, like I always recommend, dynasty criteria, 8 seasons in the league or age 29 season for wide receivers is when we want to look to trade them away. You're not going to get a good return at this point in a trade because the arrow is pointing down and everybody sees it. So just think about that. Dynasty-wise, but Puka Nacua's arrow is pointing up in Dynasty, and this is not the time to acquire him. You're going to overpay. But if you did draft him, and I know a lot of FTN subscribers did because I wasn't like, oh, Puka Nacua, first round, but I think I had him higher in my rookie ranks than others did. So people ended up with him. Great. That's what we're here for. Now, Kyren Williams, I'll tell you this. Sean McVay loves a bell cow back. Oh, he loves a bell cow back. And guess what? He has another one now. Kyren Williams did some very special things. In fact, he was doing some stuff that even Todd Gurley didn't do in that offense. He had a longer streak of 100-plus scrimmage yards than Gurley had under McVay. So that's impressive. I don't think this goes anywhere. I think McVay feeds him the rock. No, there always is the injury possibilities, of course, and he got hurt this season. But this wasn't a fluke season. As far as Stafford is concerned, he showed when he's healthy, he can be lights out. And he was healthy throughout a bulk of the season. So there you go. There's a lot of fantasy potential. Like, you're talking top 5 on Kyren Williams. I actually have him at number 2 right now. And then top 10 on Puka Nacua. That's incredible. That is incredible right there. And Stafford's going to have some value as a late round safe guy. And there's no question this year about McVay. At least I haven't seen any about him coming back. Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin will be coming back, even though there were some rumblings he could potentially move on from coaching. That will not be the case. He's back for an 18th season. He's had a tremendously successful coaching career. This year, he had a very good team that had two problems when they got into the postseason. First problem was TJ Watt didn't play, and they're only 1-11 in games where TJ doesn't play since he was drafted in 2017. Second problem is quarterback. You spent a first-round pick on Kenny Pickett. You got him in there, and he showed some promise in his rookie season, but he just did not improve this year. Even after you switched coordinators, it didn't really quite work. And then, obviously, his injury opened the door first for Trubisky, who tripped as he went into the room, and then for Mason Rudolph, who, credit where credit's due, Mason Rudolph won 3 games down the stretch to help get that team into playoffs. But Mason Rudolph is a backup quarterback. Now, he went from being, for me, an afterthought backup quarterback to maybe a pretty decent one, but he's a backup quarterback. And as the saying goes, if you have more than one quarterback, like if you have 2 quarterbacks, you got Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett, guess what? You don't have a quarterback. So what can they do? Well, one thing they could potentially do, trade. And one player who could potentially be available, Justin Fields. Because they're not going to be in a position to really draft one with, you know, you're not going to get one of the premium guys at 20th overall. Like, I don't know where Michael Penix goes, and maybe you like Michael Penix, but if you really wanted the next franchise guy, you're not in a position to draft him this year. You're not getting one of the first three quarterbacks at 20 overall. You could trade for one. You could potentially, there's a world where like a Kirk Cousins or somebody like that, but really, do you want a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury? Or do you want something a little bit more impressive? That's the question. Because the rest of the team is solid. And I'll tell you what, Deontay Johnson, he may not be an elite receiver, but he's darn good and he can be a wide receiver 3+ in fantasy. George Pickens, any given week, could be the number one receiver. Now, granted, the floor is a lot lower than Deontay Johnson, but we saw the ceiling this season. He had a 1,000-yard year. You have Najee and Jalen Warren. And I'm really hesitant to even call that thunder and lightning because Jalen Warren has some thunder to him too. They're a quarterback away, man. And that will give stability. We saw Ben Roethlisberger just gave stability to the fantasy assets. And it's like annually, you go back through time and it was Hines Ward and it was Emmanuel Sanders. And then obviously Antonio Brown and his run. And even early on in Ben's time there, there's so many guys, Plexico Burris, guys like that, just stability. Stability at the tight end position all across the board. And they have a good tight end now in Freiermuth. Just need that quarterback. We'll see what they do. Going to be fun. All right, let's round it out. Philly, Tampa Bay. Of course, Philly losing that one. As of right now, I don't think Nick Sirianni loses his job, but I do think they need to replace both their coordinators and improve on that front. Brian Johnson, I don't know how he's getting coaching interviews because generally speaking, I think that offense was pretty vanilla. The defense was, I mean, it was bad from the jump, and it got worse when you put Patricia in charge of it. But the continuity of the team will remain the same. You will have the big three in terms of Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, not necessarily in that order, but the big three targets for Jalen Hurts. And even when Jalen Hurts was bad this year, he was not bad for fantasy at all. So take that for what it's worth. We know the running ability. We know the rushing touchdowns. And honestly, you can spin it from time to time. I just would love to see more creativity in the offense. I would love to also see them address the backfield with a bigger-bodied runner. I just don't know if DeAndre Swift can really do everything they need him to do in that backfield. But it would be cool if you had a kind of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs set up in that backfield. That would be pretty interesting. But regardless, I don't think anything majorly changes here for Philadelphia. And they're still going to be pretty potent for fantasy purposes, even though the team wasn't particularly potent down the stretch. All right, so there's your postmortem. Let's dive into rankings quickly here. These rankings will be up over at ftnfantasy.com if you are so inclined to go check them out. At quarterback this week, here's the way I see it. I have a top tier of four and then the secondary tier. So if you're looking for, you know, various plays in a variety of formats, I have it Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy. It's pretty close between Lamar and Allen. It's pretty close between Mahomes and Purdy. So Lamar and Allen for the one spot, Mahomes and Purdy for the three spot. Kind of splitting hairs on either of them. I do have Lamar a tick ahead because more rushing yards. I do have Mahomes a tick ahead because more rushing yards. I actually have Lamar and Josh Allen pretty close in passing yards. And I actually have Purdy and Mahomes pretty close in passing yards as well. Then it's Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, CJ Stroud. I know I love CJ Stroud as much as anybody else out there, but this is a very tough matchup against a stout Ravens defense on the road. He's done some magical things so far. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm generally fading CJ Stroud if I can this week just because of that matchup. And there are better plays. Don't take offense, Texans fans. It's not meant that way. Over to running back, McCaffrey on a tier unto himself at the top. But I'm going to continue to ride this Aaron Jones thing. So last week he faced a very tough run defense in Dallas, and we saw what he was able to do. This week he faces a very tough run defense in San Francisco, What do you do if you're Green Bay? And I don't think A.J. Dillon plays, by the way, as of right now. He's yet to practice this week. What do you do if you're Green Bay? Do you feed this dude the rock like you've done over the last month and saw the results? I think so. This tier goes fairly deep, so I will go Aaron Jones, Pacheco, Rashad White, Jahmyr Gibbs, James Cook. I think that's where I cut it. Each of these guys is, you know, they're all going to see 15 to 20 touches. Even Jahmyr Gibbs is going to see in that range. He's obviously the one who doesn't project to see the most rushing attempts, but still, with his electric ability, especially in the passing game, that's where he's a difference maker. Now, I do have a mini tier after them of Devin Singletary and David Montgomery. Singletary is going to be up against it with a very tough matchup on the other side. As far as Montgomery's concerned, we want him to score touchdowns primarily. And that matchup isn't easy, by the way. Tampa can defend the run really well. After that, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, almost their own mini tier as well. And I really want to avoid them if I can, just because the way the ball is spread out in that backfield. After that, you have just backups largely. Chase Edmonds, Ty Johnson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Elijah Mitchell, guys like that. Again, if you wanted a deeper look at these rankings, you can check them out at ftnfantasy.com. Moving over to wideout, again, it's a top tier of just one player of Amon-Ra, but then it is a very deep next tier. Honestly, I think you could lump all these guys together. So here's how I initially have it, and I'll get into more details on these games on Friday. I have at number two, Rashee Rice, then Nico Collins, Deebo Samuel, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Ayuk, Chris Godwin, Zay Flowers. All of those guys in my projections are separated by under 3 points. So it's really tight there. But what I love about that is there's a lot of opportunities this week, especially if you choose wisely. In DFS, a lot of standout options, you know, because they're all so tightly bunched. It's going to be a really fun week. Now, after those guys, I have the two Green Bay guys, Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs. I actually have Reed just a tick ahead of Doubs, but Doubs is coming off that breakout game. Then, I guess another tier of Josh Reynolds, Dontavian Wicks, who I actually have ahead of Christian Watson again, Odell, and Khalil Shakir. After that, it sort of unravels a little bit. Robert Woods, Jameson Williams, Christian Watson, Rashad Bateman, and so on. Maybe Trey Palmer is kind of where I stop. He does have some DFS appeal this week. All right, let's round it out with tight ends. So it's a pretty good week at tight end. Not going to lie. I mean, you have Kelce, and I still like Kelce the most. I have him projected at 5.8 receptions, just under 63 yards, has about a 44.5% chance of scoring a touchdown. I know things haven't been that great down the stretch. He had a drop last week, but he still caught. He was over 70 receiving yards, had 7 catches. So I'm not going to overthink this one. Now, George Kittle is next. And then I have Isaiah Likely at 3. As of right now, I don't anticipate Mark Andrews playing. But if he is activated, obviously things will change here. So stay tuned on that one. After that, Sam Laporta, if he was fully healthy, I'd be higher on him. He is not fully healthy yet, so it's tough to be too bullish on him. But obviously he played, scored a touchdown last week and was just, you know, generally speaking, just fine. Didn't have big yardage numbers or volume, though. Dalton Kincaid after Laporta. I would be higher on Dalton Kincaid if Dawson Knox wasn't on the field. He just sucks up those touchdowns, but still a top five option here. Then Dalton Schultz, who got in the end zone last week. Tough matchup, though. Cade Otton, who saw 11 targets last week. I don't expect a repeat there, but he does slide in ahead of both the Green Bay guys, Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. Then after them, Dawson Knox kind of rounds out the playable options. I don't want to get down into the Brevin Jordan, Noah Gray, Brock Wright range. Again, we'll keep an eye on Mark Andrews. As of right now, he's not activated. He's limited in practice. Typically, that's a sign that he's not going to be activated, but things can change over the course of the week. So we'll check back in on Friday. And the good news there is we'll have a full set of practice reports for the Saturday game on Friday. We only have the first two practice reports for the Sunday game. Anyway, that is going to do it for today. So Friday's podcast, we're going to rip into all four games, give you everything you need to know to hopefully capitalize, make some dough this weekend. Otherwise, in the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.